Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, the Master of the National Maternity Hospital, Professor Shane Higgins, is with us in studio today to answer all of your questions about male fertility, because we've had quite a few emails from listeners recently with just really specific male infertility questions. So we want to try and address those. Before we do that, though, we want to find out, Shane, how common is male infertility, first of all?
Good afternoon, Andrea. For couples who are struggling to conceive, about a third of those who are investigated and found to have something wrong will have a male infertility component to it. So about 30% will be a male contributory factor.
So it's that high?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Because typically, you know, in my experience of chatting about this on the show over the last couple of years, when we talk about infertility, it's usually the focus seems to be more so on the women.
It is very much the focus. And, you know, there are a number of different factors that can, you know, cause problems as far as female is concerned. Ovulation, tubal patency. So these are different things. But for men, it is, you know, typically they just have a seminal analysis done. And but that is a contributor to about 30% of couples who have fertility issues.
Okay. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Professor Shane Higgins today. What are the most common causes of male infertility, Shane?
Well, it's all down to sperm. So when a seminal sample is sent to the laboratory for analysis, you're looking at the volume of the ejaculate, you're looking at the number of sperm per million, you're looking at the motility, you're looking at the morphology. So these are tests that are done. These are the basic set of tests that are done on men or a man who's having investigations for subfertility. So, you know, you have to have the right quantity of ejaculate. You have to have a certain number of million of sperm per mil of ejaculate. And then the motility, you're looking at them at down a microscope, and you're looking to see, are the sperm moving? And then also, do they look normal on the microscope? So each of these four components can by themselves contribute to male subfertility. So when you get a seminal analysis report back, it will either describe it as normal, or it will give you an indication as to what the problem is with the sperm, whether there's sperm present, whether there's normal motility, morphology, numbers. And then there's often a recommendation comes with that if there is an abnormality there as to what the best form of reproductive assistance is.
And just like, I suppose, with women, with age, does male infertility reduce?
Certainly not as much. Okay. There can be issues with the quality of the sperm, but unlike women who are born with all their eggs present on their ovaries, men develop, you know, sperm are produced de novo from stem cells in the testes all the time. So there isn't the same aging factor and impact.
Do men need to get their fertility checked in the same way as we talk about women doing that?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're a couple and you're trying to conceive and you're not successful, then both partners have to be investigated appropriately. So, as I said, women will have they'll check to see if you're ovulating every month, and typically women who have a 21 to 35 day cycle, they are going to ovulate. And if you've got a very short or a very long cycle, that's when you're struggling. But things like tubal patency, to make sure your fallopian tubes are normal, that's not something you can tell just by examining the patient. That requires very specific testing. And for the man then as well, a seminal sample or more than one, perhaps, if there's a minor abnormality, you just wonder, is it that particular moment in time, then you would repeat it to make sure that it is normal before you sign off.
And that seminal sample that you talked about in the testing, the initial testing for men, is that, do you go to your local GP, Shane, or is that through the...
No, that would be done through a very specific laboratory that's set up to do seminal analysis. So, I mean, we would, at the National Maternity Hospital, we would look for a laboratory, and the Marian Fertility Clinic would assist us in this, in that if there's a patient attending the public clinic at the hospital, we wouldn't undertake that in our own hospital. We'd send that out.
Send it out. Okay. Yeah. Listener questions on this, 087 1400 106. If you have a question, send it in here on WhatsApp today for Professor Shane Higgins. Can you please ask Shane, with regards to male fertility, I've done a 100 plus marker test that was advertised in the US, and it came back to say that my FSH score of 53 and LH of 14, which are both abnormally high. My testosterone is normal, but from the reading I'm doing, it says I'm infertile. I'm 27 years of age, and it's truly shocked me.
Okay, so just to throw those figures out there, 53 and 14, they're laboratory specific. So our laboratory would say the patient's FSH and LH are the following. FSH and LH are two hormones that are produced by the pituitary gland that control ovarian function, and they operate on a positive and a negative feedback loop. So at different stages of a woman's menstrual cycle, those levels will be higher or lower than at other stages. So you have to contextualize those results and say, this is my FSH and LH. And you have to look at the units. You have to then assess that in the context of where the patient is in their menstrual cycle. And then you would look at, so androgen, testosterone, which is a male hormone, will be, all women will produce some, but very high levels might indicate, for example, a patient has polycystic ovarian syndrome. So these simple figures of 53, 14, and my testosterone is normal, but on the reading I'm doing, it says I'm infertile. You can't, it's very difficult, and it's probably wrong for patients to interpret this. So you do need to go to a professional, a healthcare professional, for them to interpret these results and to see what further investigations need to be done and what treatment options are available. Very few patients can't have babies. They may have problems with ovulation. They may have problems with tubal patency or seminal fluid or you know, male ejaculate. But there's always ways around that. So with those results, and particularly if they've been done in the US, I would say go to a fertility clinic here in Ireland, get the tests done, get the investigations done from the get-go, the appropriate investigations. And I think some of these, the 100 plus marker tests, this comes back to the add-ons that we were discussing last week.
Yeah.
You can exhaust investigations if you wish. But I would say to patients who are trying and not conceiving to go to a healthcare professional in Ireland, there are now 6 public fertility hubs set up throughout the country. Patients can be referred there. They can be investigated and worked up. And those that are suitable and eligible can go on to public IVF cycles in Ireland. So I think it's important that patients appreciate that there's been investment in public fertility here in the country, and they should avail of it.
Okay. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener says, my wife and I, Shane, have been trying for a baby for 2 years now. All tests come back clear. However, I was told that my job isn't conducive to healthy sperm. I'm a truck driver. Is there anything you might recommend?
Yeah, so I mean, we touched with the way back at the very start of this series, we touched on male infertility factors, and the scrotum is where it is for a particular purpose. It keeps the testes at a slightly cooler temperature than the core temperature of the body. There was a lot in the past about male truck drivers, long distance lorry drivers, who are sitting on a hot engine, that the temperature of their testes is warmer, and therefore their seminal production is reduced. So if the person is desperately trying to conceive and feels that they're, take a little bit of time off. You don't have to quit your job, but if you want to kind of feel that you're doing your utmost to conceive, then there are, apart from, you know, taking time off from sitting on a warm lorry engine, you know, wearing loose underwear, cutting out alcohol, tobacco, healthy lifestyle, all of these things will have probably just as great an impact on your fertility as your occupation. And I don't think you should overly worry about it. But if you want to take a couple of weeks, month off, that's the time it'll take for the sperm to be produced, and you give it the best shot.
Just a follow up to that listener wondering, Shane, is it true that things like tight boxer shorts,
yeah,
or cycling shorts,
yeah,
can impact sperm?
Yeah, but only if you're wearing them all the time. I mean, yeah, I mean, there, again, going back to when I was a student, it was like, don't sit on a hot engine, don't wear tight underwear, and allow the testes to be slightly cooler than the rest of the core temperature of the body, which is what they're meant to be.
Okay. Listener says, I've been trying for a baby and I've been told that the DNA of the sperm could be an issue. I've never heard of this before. Can you test for it?
Yes, you can. It's DNA sperm fragmentation testing, and you can get that done through a fertility clinic. And again, it's assessing the quality of the sperm DNA.
Okay. And where, just any fertility clinic you can do that?
Again, going back to, you know, your GP would be your first point of call, and they will have ready access. But that test will be done as a suite of tests for couples who are trying to conceive and where perhaps the preliminary investigations are negative. So GP to a public fertility clinic, if that's the direction you want to go in. But there's lots of private fertility clinics around the city and country that you can access as well.
Okay. Now, this listener says, I'm wondering if you can have children with, is it phimosis? Does it affect fertility or anything like that? The inability to, is it retract the skin, the foreskin?
Oh, yeah, phimosis.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're having intercourse and you're ejaculating during intercourse, then absolutely you can have, you can conceive. Yeah,
it's okay.
not a, it's not a, it's not a, an inhibitor of that at all.
Listener just says, you know, in general, I find that men are so poorly treated in Ireland when it comes to fertility. My husband had issues. We were told to move on to donor sperm, sought more advice. He was treated by an endocrinologist and had sperm-induced via medication, the correct term of AIDS. Although the donor sperm is a valid option, of course. There's many men missing out on viable treatments. Further to this, we now have two kids via, is it ICSI, IVF?
ICSI, yeah. I think it's not so much that men have long been forgotten, but as you said at the very start, the emphasis has always been on female fertility.
Yeah.
And I think now men are certainly being considered as important and are being investigated. And I suppose part of this was, in fact, in the past, it was always the women that were blamed for the subfertility in a relationship. And that's certainly not the case. So men are being investigated as part of a couple who are trying to conceive now, just as much as the female partner is. ICSI stands for intracytoplasmic sperm insemination, and it's for men, or it's for couples where there's a male infertility factor. And what you're essentially taking is, as part of the IVF treatment, is you're injecting a single sperm into the unfertilized egg to allow fertilization to take place. But that's the level of detail. So instead of millions of sperm, you're just picking one and you're putting it under what's called the zona pellucida, which is the covering of the egg, and to allow fertility to or fertilization to occur.
Now, this is an interesting one, Shane, and obviously very distressing for this listener. I'm struggling to perform when trying for a baby. The pressure I feel is immense, which causes stress, leading to erectile dysfunction. We are exploring different options and curious to understand if home insemination kits are recommended, and if not, what might you recommend?
I suppose there's a number of issues in coming to light here in this question. The erectile dysfunction. So if the erectile dysfunction is prohibiting ejaculation, then yes, you've got a problem in terms of conceiving. Erectile dysfunction is crudely broken down into organic and non-organic causes, or psychological or non-psychological causes. So that in itself needs to be investigated. And if it's the stress of trying to conceive, then yeah, absolutely. It's not to park it, but that needs its own separate investigative process. Home insemination kits are not something that I'm familiar with and certainly wouldn't be recommending. But if you go through your GP and are reviewed and refer to a fertility unit, you have intrauterine insemination, which is where instead of the whole IVF, you're taking the partner's seminal sample produced artificially, and you're inserting it into the uterine cavity, and therefore you're maximizing the opportunity of a spontaneous conception taking place. But you're removing the whole IVF, the removal of the eggs, the insemination outside the body. It's insemination it's in vivo insemination. So it's happening in the body, but it's bringing the sperm as close to the unfertilized egg as is humanly possible without an IVF program. But you've got two issues. You've got the erectile dysfunction, which needs its own an investigation
and that's
on merit.
Fertility clinic, is it?
No, completely separate.
Kind of, yeah.
Completely separate. Erectile dysfunction is something you would, again, start by going to your general practitioner. He'll take a very good history, do an examination, make sure there's nothing anatomically that should be investigated further. And then considering that this person has alluded to the stress caused leading to erectile dysfunction, but there are other reasons as to why patients might have erectile dysfunction, and they all need to be investigated. But it's not a fertility issue.
Not a fertility issue. Okay, and maybe just very finally, this listener just makes the point, it's not a question about male fertility, but a question from a man talking about his wife. He says her periods have been extremely heavy over the last 6 months. She went to the GP, but he said it's normal. She's 45. I'm a worried husband.
Yes, I wouldn't be worried. I think what is a very common topic of discussion now is the perimenopause. And let's go back to the word menopause. It means cessation of periods. It's a day in the life of a woman when she stops having periods. But there's a big window leading up to that point in her life called the perimenopause, where she can have quite significant menstrual dysfunction, irregularity, heavy periods. And the overwhelming likelihood is that that's what it is. However, she does need to be investigated and perhaps treated. And the investigation would be to take a sample from the lining of her uterus to make sure there's nothing abnormal going on there in terms of hormonal environment or any other disease process. That and an ultrasound scan will say, look, everything is good in the pelvis in terms of the ovaries. There's no fibroids. The uterus looks normal. The lining of the uterus looks normal, but we'll take a sample. And then on the basis of those results, you can then consider what would be the best treatment to diminish the menstrual loss. And a good one would be the Mirena coil, for example.
That's one way to maybe deal with it. Yeah. Okay. Listen, Shane, thanks a million for coming in to us as always this Wednesday afternoon. Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital. Shane will be back with us next Wednesday to talk about the start of labour. So if you have queries, you can drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.